From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. Hard to believe, but my guest today first joined us 10 years ago as lead singer for the band Crooked Still, has been back subsequently to talk about a beautiful song cycle called Bullfrog's Croon, and now there is a brand new record to talk about, due out January 21st. It's Aoife O'Donovan. Hello, welcome.
Hello, Eric. Great to see you again.
Great to see you as well. How have you been, all things considered?
All things considered, I have been great. I feel very lucky and grateful for my health and the health of those close to me, and have been really, really excited to sort of have time to work on new music and write and record new music and, just take it all in.
Yeah, you've kind of done the opposite of pandemic shutdown. You've been extremely busy releasing, let's see, you released a live record, you released a covers record of Nebraska, you released a song called Transatlantic with Chris Drever, you released a couple of songs, More Than We Know, that one with Milk Carton Kids and Captain's Clock, you did a song with Donovan Woods, who's been one of our guests here in the studio, called Iowa. You worked on a song cycle that I want to ask you about, another song cycle, not Bullfrog's Croon, but another one called America Come, and you somehow still found time to actually work on a new record.
Yeah, it's when you list it like that, it does seem like I should, I don't know, like take a vacation or something, but it's been great. It's been just a crazy amount of things I wanted to say, I guess, and I've been fortunate to have access to a great studio here. I'm currently living in Central Florida, which is a change of scenery for me. Kind of moved down here last September as my husband was able to do outdoor socially distanced concerts with his orchestra throughout the pandemic, which was also just a really cool thing that got to work out. So we came down here and kind of relocated and kind of found ourselves just having a lot of opportunities that we didn't know we're there, so it led to a lot of new music.
You know, for a lot of folks, the profession of choice is not that far removed from the hobby of choice, right? Like, I can actually sort of say that about what I do as well. Like, I would do this anyway because I love sharing music with people.
Totally.
Is that sort of synchronicity between hobby and profession what has led you to produce so much music during a time that you could have been, I don't know, gardening or cooking or repainting your home or something?
Oh, God. Well, I think that it's kind of both, because the first 6 months of the pandemic, I mean, I did a bunch of live streams. I did, you mm-hmm. know, that like the Nebraska thing that we released. I was working, but I can't say that I was using that time in a very productive way. Even as far as like my hobby of as a musician goes, I didn't feel very creatively inspired. I didn't feel that excited to be playing music, because it just was like, ugh, blah, blah. Although it was great to get to be, you know, home with my husband, Eric, who's a cellist, and my brother-in-law, Colin, who's a violinist. So we did get to make a bunch of music together. But it wasn't really until I kind of got out of New York and the reality that we weren't going to go back on tour kind of sunk in that I was just sort of like, okay, I have some child care now. I'm, you know, the pandemic is not over, but I have to start doing something. And I mean, trust me, I cooked a lot for those first 6 months. I ordered 50-pound bags of flour and used every single drop.
What's your specialty?
Oh, well, and I was doing a ton of sourdough at the beginning of the pandemic. And I mean, like, I've been a sourdough baker for years, but what was I doing? I mean, my recipe that I probably made the most, that I still make probably too often for health reasons, is this great New York Times Yossi Arefi's Nutella banana bread. It's on New York Times Cooking. It's brown butter Nutella banana bread. People listening, I mean, I you'll probably be angry at me for recommending this recipe, because it's the kind of recipe that if I make it, the whole loaf is gone. I mean, it's like, it's gone. It doesn't even usually last a day. But there's only myself, my husband, and my daughter and our family, so.
Wow. Well, as this is not a cooking show, it's a music show, I'd love to hear some music. The new record is called Age of Apathy. It comes out in late January. It's the brand new third full release, solo record anyway, from Aoife O'Donovan, who joins me from Florida. What do you want to play first for us?
I'll play a song called Phoenix. This is the first single off the record that I released, and it's a song that sort of, I feel like in many ways, it's kind of like the centerpiece of the record. It's kind of about rediscovering that creative energy.
Fantastic.
Time's not the villain. Coming up behind you is a marigold sun. Love if you will and take a little more time. I smell fire. It's coming from the flames that are dancing on my wings. I'm a bird on a wire, killing time. Fever's got me shaking. Rises up like a road to meet me. Fever's got me quaking like San Andreas Fault. Just put a claw to my brow. I'll soar like a phoenix from the ashes. Put a pretty blanket down. I'm ready now. Looking for forgiveness.
That is Phoenix. Aoife O'Donovan is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That is the first single from the brand new record due out in January called Age of Apathy on Yep Rock Records. You can find information on all of the projects Aoife is involved with by going to her website, aoifeodonovan.com. And I'm sure you have been through this 100,000 times. It is spelled A-O-I-F-E, O'Donovan.com.
And I always say A-O-I-F as in Frank. E, because I've received one too many, you know, credit cards that say A-O-I-S-E on them.
What's the worst mispronunciation that you've heard?
Oof.
That's great. That's really
it's
great.
It's one way to look at it.
So let's talk through some of these projects that you have worked on during the stay-at-home shutdown, because they're all over the map, and they're with wonderful people. Chris Drever. Not all that well known, but it's somebody we know here at JPR and have loved his recent releases. How did you make connection with Chris?
I've known Chris for, gosh, for, I mean, many years. I want to say 15 years. His band, Lau, a great Scottish trio with Aidan O'Rourke and Martin Green, they've been one of my favorite bands. I think I first got their record, their first record when it came out, which was like 2006. I think I heard of them at Celtic Connections Festival. Met them, was on sets with them. Now that I'm really going back into my mind on this, I was first made aware of Chris Drever when he was playing bass with Kate Rusby. Oh, this is kind of like before his solo stuff really started. He's the same age as me. I think he's probably like late 30s or maybe he just turned 40. Like we're around the same age. And we've kind of, just kind of came up in a similar scene and have been friends for a very long time. I actually, back in the day in like 2008, booked Lau some shows in Boston and played some shows with them in Boston and New York. They're just great friends of mine and great pals. And we've done some collaborating. They've invited me to come to their festival in Newcastle.
So another song was the one that you did with Donovan Woods. And like I said at the top, he's been here a couple of times. I love his songwriting. I love his singing. And the song Iowa, I love that the restraint, I'm going to use the word restraint, but the restraint in his singing style and your singing style just blends so beautifully.
Thank you so much. I really love how that song turned out. That was one of those slightly odd things where we didn't know each other. We were aware of each other and fans of each other's music, but my manager at some point was like, you should do a song with Donovan Woods. And I was like, that's so random. Like, we're not friends. We've never met. Like, I mean, he's great, but like, I don't know him. This is like a couple months into the pandemic. And I was like, that's like manager talk. Like, he's like, no, his manager's into it too. And I'm like, okay, blah, blah. And then, like around this time last year, my manager kept on being like, you should really do this. I think it'd be really cool. And finally I was like, fine, whatever. So Donovan and I emailed each other. And like, when I first started chatting with him, I was like, oh, like this is somebody that I definitely would be friends with. Like immediately, he's just this super cool, so funny, like really, really easy to hang with. Like even over Zoom, it was just like this kind of instant, like, all right, actually, maybe we should try this.
I believe he talked about how he's surprised by how well he's done writing really small songs. He kind of refers to his work as being really small, and yet they're so beautiful and poignant.
They are, and he's just... He's just really, really great. You know, I can't wait to go on tour with him. We're going on tour in the UK for about 3 weeks. Yeah, and Europe starting in January. And I'm really looking forward to it. I just think he's got a great sense of humor and I can't wait to hear him sing every night.
Well, transitioning from really small, the kinds of songs that Donovan Woods writes, even though they're wildly successful, to really big, let's talk about this song project that you worked on over this last period of time called America Come. Song cycles are kind of your thing now.
I guess so. I was commissioned by the Orlando Phil, which is my husband's orchestra here in Florida, to write a piece to commemorate the 19th Amendment. You know, of course, giving women the right to vote. I had this commission for maybe 6 months and had kind of always envisioned that I would start working on it the summer of 2020, like in between tours, and kind of had like a rough idea of what I wanted it to be, but just hadn't given it too much thought because the Bullfrog's Croon had just come out. I was in the middle of kind of promoting that and touring, beginning to tour behind that. The pandemic hit. I kind of, as I said earlier at the beginning of the conversation, was not doing anything except for baking banana bread. I was kind of like, what am I going to do? I said to Eric at a certain point during the summer, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this commission. I just like don't know how I am going to do it. I just don't have the energy. I don't feel excited about it. And I ended up getting this book called The Woman's Hour by Elaine Weiss and reading it. And I got really excited about writing a piece of music for voice, guitar, and bass and drums and orchestra that was going to kind of dive into the words, the ideas, the speeches of Carrie Chapman Catt. That's sort of she's kind of the focus of the piece, but kind of through my own lens and sort of modernizing her text is sort of, but also really being able to draw similarities between the struggle to get the right to vote and a lot of the struggles that are still facing marginalized members of society right now. There are just so many just sort of eerie similarities between speeches that Carrie Chapman Catt gave that I feel like you just out of context, you could be like, oh, is that what this person just said about the voting rights sort of fiasco in Georgia? Or like just so timely. I was able to work with an orchestrator, this woman, Tanner Porter. I recorded, it's a, like about a 21-minute piece. I recorded five songs and sort of sketched out parts on piano and electric guitar and vocally. And my friend Tanner Porter orchestrated the piece for full orchestra. We kind of went back and forth and we're collaborating on that. And we premiered it for full orchestra in May in Orlando and have been so crazy lucky to get to do it three more times. We did it twice with the Knights. We did it once in Central Park. We did it at Wolf Trap. And then I just did it with the Cincinnati Pops last week.
Wow, that's really cool. So do you now then take that project that's complete and set it aside in order to focus on this new solo album?
Yes,
and then revisit it later down the road at some point.
Exactly. And also those orchestras book so far out anyway. So I feel like right now I'm kind of focused on Age of Apathy and... I'm just working on, I mean, really, you're making me sound like a crazy person, but I'm back in the studio working on other new music.
I'm not the
too.
One making you sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, back in the studio working on new music to kind of go with that as well.
Well, the new record due out January 21st is called Age of Apathy. My guest is Aoife O'Donovan, who's joining me from home today. AoifeO'Donovan.com is her website to find out much more information on all of the different projects she has her hands in. Will you play us another tune from the record?
Yes, I will play you a song. I'll play you a solo version of the song called Lucky Star. It's a song from my record that I started writing over the summer of 2020. And it kind of turned into a little bit of a, and it's kind of like a social commentary. It's kind of a silly song. On the record, it features the incredible guitar playing and singing of Madison Cunningham, which is really cool. She's a total star. And anybody who is familiar with the Boston-New York route will know that Lucky Star refers to a bus, a Chinatown bus.
Oh, oh, California, the summer's always cool. Feels more like the Poconos in June. I ran away too soon. I'll come back. Pick me up, be waiting on the tarmac. Why do they pack the airplanes like sardines? And millennial queens. A couple coins in the bottom of a mug would make me feel like I'm almost there. August came and went and left us in the dust. I know it feels like love, but baby, it's lust. Oh, September, all that we got now's wet, hot American summer. Throw it on me like a napkin from your mother. Stay under. If I had a little money, I'd go somewhere. Just a cup of coin in the bottom of a mug would make me feel like I'm almost there. Got my bus fare, go to the corner. Take the lucky star up the northeast corridor. Back to Boston, you'll be waiting there. Meet me at the lizard, get a drink and stumble home. I dive and tell the world about my third eye. Wanna keep it a secret till July.
That one's called Lucky Star. Aoife O'Donovan is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That is a tune from the forthcoming record called Age of Apathy, out on Yep Rock Records January 21st. That's cool. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
So, okay, Age of Apathy, the title itself, is this inward looking or outward looking?
I guess it's both. There's a song on the record called Age of Apathy as well that it sort of describes this period of time. I think to sort of really put dates on it, it's for me, it's the beginning on September 11th, 2001, which I feel I was 18 years old. I feel in many ways that moment just sort of signified this, the beginning of my adulthood, just sort of like the closing of the door behind me and not being able to get back out that door to my childhood, to the way things used to be. And then 20 years later being, you know, I'm almost 39 years old. It's sort of this really close to what is considered middle age, you know, like I've had this whole adult period, 18 to 38 of beauty and joy and so much great stuff has happened. But I think in the big picture, the world has changed in ways that I'm not sure are for the best. I think with the advent of technology and certainly there are great things about it, but there are also things I think even now, even since I wrote this record, people are kind of coming to terms with the ugliness that comes with sort of too much access to information and too much, and it just sort of can render us numb. And I think that's kind of what I mean by the age of apathy.
Well, were it not for advancements in technology and adoption of technology, we wouldn't be talking today. So it's not all.
No,
bad,
that is
I suppose,
true.
Right?
Of course, no, it's definitely not all bad. Yeah. Of course, I mean, and I don't mean to seem to sound like a, you know, an old person saying no, technology is bad, but I do feel that it is my sincere hope that we remain excited about human interaction and excited about, you know, just conversations, real conversations with people and really discovering what is the essence of a person and what is art and what is the essence of all of this.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the phrase human interaction. With everything that has changed over the last couple of years and people getting so much more proficient at remote stuff, remote work, remote collaboration, how much in-person have you been doing versus like with the song with Chris Drever? I think that one was recorded remotely, right? Like you guys
that
were
was,
never
yeah,
together.
No,
yeah?
No, that was recorded remotely. Yeah. But you know what? But that's sort of the stuff that's always been happening in recording. I mean, like I've done harmony vocals on tracks where somebody sends you, you know, you're not always there when somebody's recording on your record. So that was, that was sort of less odd than it could have been. But I mean, back starting in July, I basically was on tour from mid-July until last week. I mean, I was kind of home here and there, but a lot of live in-person touring happened for me this summer. And that was one of the reasons why it was great to be in Florida last year, is because we were able to be outside with kind of like one family at a time, 6 feet apart at our, you know, outdoor dining table. And I felt that those human interactions, even in the height of the pandemic, were important, and it was great to be in a place where we could be outside and following all recommended safety precautions, but still having interaction with other humans.
Yeah. Of all of the work that you have been doing during this downtime on kind of these onesie twosie release songs, did you get to the point where you're like, well, gosh, I've already put out half a record, might as well just write the rest of it? Or is the record really separate from all of these other projects that you've been releasing along the way?
The record is pretty separate from all those other projects. I mean, More Than We Know and Captain's Clock were recorded in the same batch of songs for the record. But I felt I didn't put them. I put them out before the record because I felt like those two songs actually stood really well as a duo. And I wanted the record to be, you know, it was just like a length thing. I don't prefer long records. I like a 40-minute record. So that's kind of why I wanted to keep it that way.
And one of those tunes that you just mentioned, More Than We Know, was a co-write with Joe Henry, who's the producer of the new record.
Exactly. Joe is the producer of the record. Joe is a real hero and in many ways, not just a musical hero. He's just a very, very special man. He has so much wisdom. Just he's sort of like just oozes this kind of magical wisdom. I just adore him. He was really the perfect choice for this project for me. We weren't in the same room. It was all kind of back and forth on Zoom and remote production. And when we finally got to meet up to master the record in the sort of gorgeous springtime, you know, emerging from real lockdown, spring of 2021, we were just it was just so great to get to be together and to get to celebrate their mixing and mastering of the record.
He's one of those guys that has, at least on this side of the musical divide, he's just got this intangible sound that's part of every project he works on. Whereas on your side of the fence, you get to know what he did, what he chose, what he added, what he subtracted. We just know that final sound. So I'm looking forward to hearing the full record to hear how his sound meshes with your sound. So after the European dates, are there plans for you to be out west here in the States?
Yes, I have just announced a tour. I've just announced a whole West Coast tour. That's, I think, an East Coast and West Coast tour starting in, I don't know, you'd have to look at, it's all on my website, but it got announced yesterday.
Right on. Well, I hope there might be some open travel dates in there somehow, and we might convince you to stop by and say hi.
Yes, I would love that. And I know that I'm hoping to be in Oregon, in Eugene, at the Oregon Bach Festival. My husband's going to be conducting there over the summer, so maybe I'll come out for a visit.
That sounds great. Thanks for doing this today, Aoife. It's good to see you.
Thank you so much, Eric. Great to see you, too.
Aoife O'Donovan is my guest. The new record, due out January 21st on Yep Rock Records, is called Age of Apathy. It's her third full-length. AoifeOdonovan.com, the place to go to learn more and hear more and see more. Will you play us one more tune?
Yes, I will play you a song called Prodigal Daughter that I wrote with Tim O'Brien that's on the record. And this one is a really special one to me. Alison Russell got to sing on this record on the album, and I just loved singing with her and getting to kind of know her through her work on the record. And that's here fantastic. It is.
Got a child on your knee, and your mother, she looks on. She said, I don't know that baby, I don't know you, why'd you fail me? You left home 7 years ago when I wore black for days. Prodigal daughter, it turns like a lamb to the slaughter. I know forgiveness won't come easy, not for you. Look at the child upon my knee. She has eyes of blue. She resembles me, wash away the pain. wash away the pain. She's drowning in the pain. Wash away, wash away. She's drowning in the pain. Wash away.
That is called Prodigal Daughter. There's a wonderful version of it out already featuring Alison Russell on these beautiful high harmonies. I love that tune. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's from the new record called Age of Apathy, due out late January, from my guest, Aoife O'Donovan. Aoife, thanks again for doing this. Good to see you.
Thank you so much, Eric. And I'll have them send you a record ASAP.